Everybody jump, 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 jump. Everybody jump, 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 jump.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. A good Thursday morning to one and all. Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Number to call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Mike Pete across the way, Bogus, your updates as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
You know, fair to Midland Moose, but I'm here. But otherwise, looking forward to doing a great show with
you. I'm excited.
Yeah, really,
what a buildup.
Ringing endorsement.
Yeah, really.
Well, we got a lot of NBA to cover, but a couple of NBA
guests.
Get
fired up, everybody.
Yeah, get into it. Lock in. Fan of Midland.
I'm glad you're here. I'm looking forward to the next 3 hours with you as we take you
I'm
right
glad
up
you're
until...
here, too, by the way.
Thank you very much, Taz. Thank you. I was waiting, but then I just decided to muddle on.
I was a little late.
There you go. Yes, a little late to the game, but that's all right. No worries.
I hear you.
Lots to get into. We're going to be joined a little bit later on by the in the program. Former NBA guard, Arizona Wildcats star Jason Terry is going to join us. He is a member of the Big Three, a trilogy captain, will join us top of the third and final hour. And then we're going to talk to Reed Forgrave from CBS Sports, NBA writer and reporter, contributor. We're going to talk a little NBA. Close out the program as free agency comes your way, Taz, at 6 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. And really, to the surprise of what should be nobody, I mean, the news comes out yesterday, reportedly, Woj and everybody else, that Kevin Durant is not going to opt out of that final year of his one-on-one deal that he had with the Golden State Warriors at a tad over $31 million. I was surprised, and I guess it's because of the player that he is, Taz, but I thought it was kind of a foregone conclusion that he was going to opt out and wasn't going to be playing out.
I know, I agree.
Wasn't going to sit and take the $31.5 million coming his way, that he was looking to try and maximize his value, and that he still had teams that were willing to offer him a max contract via free agency. There were reports out of Golden State that they were still willing to give him a five-year contract, even though he was not going to play next year, recovering from that torn Achilles. But it was almost like when that news came out, it almost like was surprising. Like, whoa! Look at this. He's actually going to hit free agency.
Yeah.
To me, it would have been more of a bigger story if he decided to take the $31.5 million rather than deciding not to take the $31.5 million.
I felt the same way. When it came, I'm like, wow, what the heck? Like it was. But you know what? It's like, listen, he's. By the way, how nice must it be, like, for him? Man, he's a great player. We know that. We know the money these guys make, right?
But yeah, ridiculous.
But it is ridiculous. But just think about, like,
it's a different world.
I know, right? Yeah. We throw around these numbers because we're spitting truth, right?
Like Monopoly money.
It's just, it's like, you're right. It's like Monopoly game fantasy money. And it's just like, you can't even, like, if you stop and figure and fathom, you know, it's like you said, a little north of $31 million, option and stuff that he'll just, it's like no big deal. Like, it's crazy to me.
Right. I agree with you. I think it hit me yesterday with the Bradley Beal news coming out of Washington that the Wizards are preparing to offer him a three-year, $105, $110 million contract
Bradley
extension.
Beal. Yeah.
And Beal's, that hit me in terms of the money. Being like a guy that you're sitting there knowing that kind of contract, whether it be Washington, whether it be some, that money is coming your way. Like, you're going to put your name to a contract that, you're going to make well over $100 million over the course of a three-year span. I mean, it's just ridiculous amounts of wealth. I mean, good for them. God bless.
I'm not
fantastic.
Knocking them.
I know you're not, but that's what I got to say to prevent myself from weeping. I mean, that's what I got to do because it's an unbelievable amount of money. They're in a different world, Taz.
It really is.
They're in a much different world where the world is their oyster and they can do anything they want at any time of the day and at any point of the day.
Some would say, but they got to pay Uncle Sam a chunk of it. I know, right?
Come on. I wouldn't mind paying Uncle Sam.
Me neither.
I really wouldn't. If I'm making 31.5 and Uncle Sam's Uncle Sam's taking 12 million of it, that's fine. I still got 19 million that's going into the bank account that I'm free and clear and can do whatever the hell I want to do with it.
And this guy's 30 years old, Kevin Durant, right? He's a great player. We know he's going to be out. He's got the injury. It sucks. But for him and all that jazz, but You know, I mean, he could sign a four-year deal, which is north of $163, $164 million with another team.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right, and then he could sign make even more money if he signed that five-year deal. Right, with his current team,
being the Golden
State Warriors, Taz. And he is in New York City meeting, with his agent, and there hasn't been a lot out of there. The only thing you heard from Kevin Durant yesterday or saw from Kevin Durant yesterday was he happened to stumble upon walking on the street gingerly with crutches. He happened to run into Charles Oakley.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, did you see the picture yesterday?
That's funny.
Him and Oakley met up, and Charles tweeted out a picture of him and Durant. I don't know where they were in New York City, just on some street or what have you. And that could not be. That's not good news if you're a Knicks fan, because as you know, Charles Oakley, his relationship with James Dolan is non-existent, because Dolan kicked him out of the Garden, basically had him, handcuffed and dragged out of the Garden, and then went on radio locally in New York and painted him as an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true, but funny and sad at the same time.
Right,
as free agency gets going Sunday at 6 o'clock, if you had any hope that the Knicks were going to sign Kevin Durant and he was going to come to Madison Square Garden, even with the reports yesterday, Taz, that Dolan wanted to make sure he was medically okay, that he was going to recover from this torn Achilles, was a little hesitant that maybe if given him a max deal in free agency that the Knicks are going to offer him, then he get the picture last night on Twitter, on Instagram, of him at Oakley.
Could you imagine, dude?
You have to have the belief that Oakley at that stage would be like anywhere else but the Knicks.
I think we both could agree that Oakley was definitely not an ambassador of the New York Knickerbockers.
No, I'd agree with that.
To Mr. Durant.
No, I would agree with that.
You got to go there. This is a great, great program.
Right.
He's like, dude, go across the bridge to Brooklyn.
Yeah, go someplace else. Right? You want no part of this. I don't care what they tell you in that meeting, Taz.
Exactly.
So you look at, as NBA free agency gets going at Sunday night at 6 o'clock Eastern time, it's going to be fascinating to see exactly where these chips fall and what's the first big chip to fall. And when I think about the big chip, I think about Durant, I think about Kyrie Irving, and I also, those would be certainly at the top of the list, and obviously Kawhi Leonard. Those three guys, Taz, there's the belief that Kyrie Irving and Durant are a duo. That if Durant leaves Golden State, he's going to partner up with Kyrie Irving.
Right.
And the belief now is that they're going to partner up in Brooklyn, because everyone and their mother seems to be thinking that Kyrie Irving
is going to
the Brooklyn Nets. That the Knicks really kind of might be left between a rock and a hard place. They don't end up anywhere. And we know that Kawhi Leonard's not signing a contract extension with the Toronto Raptors right when free agency starts, because we do know that he's in Los Angeles meeting with the Clippers, or he's going to be with the Clippers. I would assume it's in Los Angeles come July 2nd. So at least up until July 2nd, there's not going to be any movement from Kawhi Leonard. And he's going to take a meeting with the Knicks as well, as the Knicks will also meet with Kevin Durant. So he's going to play the game and have his rear end kissed, which is fine. But what do you think the first chip to fall would be? If I asked you for the big three, of those big three guys, Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, who's the first one to make to decide where they're going to play basketball, or in Durant's case, rehab in 2019-20 season?
And I can answer this little question you have, even if it's someone staying with a current team they're with.
Correct.
Okay, so I would say Kawhi Leonard. I think it'll be the first. I think that'll, once he's done, talking to potential suitors, if it's the Clippers or whatever, and then he'll end up making an announcement, or his team will, or somebody will, or Toronto will, that he's staying in Toronto. That's what I think.
Okay, so you think think Kawhi Leonard? I could see that. I mean, I could see that. Now, do you think the Kyrie Irving Durant signings, do you think they will occur on the same day? My point being is, do you think it's going to be a case where, Bisseglia's Nets announced, for argument's sake, on the same day, the 5th of July, we have signed Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant to four-year contracts. Do you think that's the case, or do you think Kyrie Irving signs and then Durant makes the decision to join him, or Durant decides to stay in Golden State or go to the Knicks?
I think option two. I think Kyrie makes the announcement. Great question. Kyrie makes his announcement first, that he ends up with the Nets, and then I don't know. I don't have a good feel on what I think Durant would do. I know. I mean, and you're right, Moose. I mean, it's like the vibe has been that Kyrie and KD are a team, that they're going to team up someplace. I don't know. I do feel like Kyrie's going to go to the Nets. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. I do think he's going to go to Brooklyn. But I'm on the fence about KD. What do you think they're going to team up?
No, I think Kyrie Irving wants to play in the metropolitan area of New York.
Right.
So I think he wants to play either with the Knicks or the Brooklyn Nets. And right now, I think he wants to probably play with the Brooklyn Nets.
Right.
So I think Kyrie Irving is going to be the first one to decide. And then Durant will ultimately...
Also before Kawhi.
I agree with you that I think Kawhi Leonard... I think it's between those two teams. So I think he's going to go off, and I think he's probably leaning one way. If I had a venture guess right now on this Thursday morning, Taz, as we are, 4 days away from the start of NBA free agency, just a guess now, speculation, I would say Kawhi Leonard's probably leaning to remaining with the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I agree.
And so I think he would have to probably get his socks knocked off and blown away by whatever presentation the Los Angeles Clippers give to him. And you know it's going to be come back home. You're an L.A. kid.
Right.
You start at San Diego State. You just bought, this is the place for you. You can become even a bigger star. You can make even more money.
Right.
It's not just a shoe deal. There's other stuff that you can get involved in, that will help you out with. I mean, this is where, back in the States, you're not up in Canada. There's a lot of things that the Clippers can play upon with the emotions of Kawhi Leonard. But ultimately, I think Kawhi said it best during the course of the postseason. He doesn't care about stats. He's not there about individual awards. What is he about? He's about winning.
Right.
And I think ultimately Kawhi Leonard's going to look at it and say, how do I, at least in the short term, how exactly do I leave a team that just won a title that if I roll back with would right now probably be the favorite to get one, would be the favorite to get through the East and get back to the NBA Finals as long as we stayed healthy next season?
Absolutely. No, I think Kawhi Leonard, Moose, is in a... He's in the catbird seat as far as all these players go because I don't think fan bases anywhere would be upset with him no matter what he decides to do. So let's just say, hypothetically, he does not stay in Toronto. Okay, let's say you and I are both wrong.
And he goes to Los Angeles.
He goes to Los Angeles to play for the Clippers. I don't think the Toronto fans will be mad at him. They'll appreciate he helped spearhead a championship to that franchise, and I think they'll appreciate him. They're going to miss the hell out of him, but they're going to understand he wants to play not only in America but play where he's from in Southern California in that San Diego LA area. So he's going to want to play over there. But let's just say he doesn't do that. Let's say you and I are both right, and Kawhi Leonard decides I'm going to stay here. We just won. We're fixed to win again. I'm the hood ornament of this Raptor team, and I can bring it, and my teammates can bring it. This town loves me, yada, yada. I'm not going to go to Los Angeles, and I'm not going to go to Clippers. I don't think Clipper fans would be mad at him. I think the Clipper fans would completely understand that he would stay on a team that just won, the end-all, be-all game, the NBA Finals. They won the championship. They won the trophy, So I don't think he could piss anybody off right now. I think he's in a great spot.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. That's a good point. And that's with winning the championship up in Toronto. If he didn't deliver that title and they lose to Golden State, if you're a Raptor fan, you'd be like, it's disappointing.
Right.
Because we only had him for 1 year.
That's right.
And then he decides to, he decides to leave and go back home and play in Los Angeles and play with the Clippers. But we didn't win an NBA title, and now we're going to be worse for the wear for it because we're taking a monumental step back as a franchise because we're not going to be able to replace Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
Exactly. That's the concern you have.
And that's a good point. Like, hypothetics, if they weren't to win, to the point you just made, if the Raptors didn't win, and then he leaves, then it'd be a little bit like, I think the Raptor fans are like, you son of a gun.
Well, but here's, Taz, here's the thing for Leonard, though. Ultimately, his decision will impact greatly to NBA franchises because the Toronto Raptors will go from contender to pretender if he decides to go to the Los Angeles Clippers. They're no longer a championship caliber team. You can't take the best player off a team, a transformational talent, and say, all right, we could still win, get through the Eastern Conference. They will not.
Right.
You look at your Philadelphia 76ers,
right,
or maybe if the Celtics signed Kemba Walker. You still got the Milwaukee Bucks, and we'll see what they do with Chris Middleton. But even if they don't have Chris Middleton, they still have the MVP of the league in Giannis on that team.
That's right.
And the coach of the year in Budenholzer, so they're not going anywhere.
No.
So you're looking for Toronto, their relevancy, at least for the foreseeable future, the next 2-3 years, is in the hands of Kawhi Leonard.
Absolutely.
As he delivered an NBA title, he also holds in their hands their basketball relevancy for at least a couple years.
I completely agree. Now, let me ask you, on the flip side, like we said, we just talked for a second about Kawhi Leonard and how the fan bases, either in Toronto or with the Clippers, how they would feel if whatever move he made, and that he's kind of in a babyface role, a good guy role, no matter what he does. I want to ask you, now, Kyrie, okay, different story because of the way he left Boston, the way Boston finished, the way he left, and
what I mean? I think the Celtic fan can't stand Kyrie.
Right.
Exactly. I think the Celtic fan is bothered. You know, we talked about yesterday the Jackie McMullen stuff on the podcast where she said that Kyrie never really embraced Boston, didn't like living up in Boston. Got into it with Stevens at times and Danny Ainge. I mean, work your way through what's true, untrue. We could just see the non-emotional response to when they got eliminated by Milwaukee, which was awkward, it is what it is. There are greater tragedies in life. I'm just hoping our plane doesn't go down when we head back to Boston.
That's basically what he said.
I mean,
it was weird, man.
It was just a very, very strange response from Kyrie Irving. I think the Boston fan is going to say good riddance.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. A deal that didn't work out for both franchises. The Cavaliers got a disastrous return back, and ultimately, Kyrie Irving up in Boston did not stick. I think for the Celtic fan, they're going to say it's addition by subtraction. Now we can get back to a little bit team chemistry. Let's see what we do with Kemba Walker. And then as we discussed yesterday, I think the Net fan, should he sign in Brooklyn, will have an excitement level that I think is a little conservative because there is still the underlying concern about what his personality does inside a locker room.
Kyrie. Irving.
I think that's the concern you have with Irving because the Brooklyn Net fan likes their team.
Right.
The Net fan likes Atkinson. They like the fact that D'Angelo Russell developed, right? They like the fact that they've got great team chemistry. The guys are all cheering for one another. You know, it's kind of like this inner circle, right? So the concern for the Brooklyn Net fan is this. We saw what Kyrie Irving did up in Boston with the Celtics, with some of those, how it impacted some of those young players. If all of a sudden he does the same thing in Brooklyn, and I know D'Angelo Russell wouldn't be part of the team, but some of the other younger guys on that team, Taz,
right.
And you say to yourself, well, is it going to be more of the same here with Kyrie Irving? If Kevin Durant doesn't come and it's just Kyrie Irving, his personality, how will it impact the Brooklyn Nets franchise on the whole?
And that's,
as we discussed yesterday, that's the big question with Irving. It's not about talent. It's not whether or not he can get to the rim, Taz. It's whether or not his personality negatively impacts your franchise, which it could.
Yeah, and it definitely could. And it's going to be just every day polarizing. If he ends up a Net, people watching to see every move he has on that team, especially once the season starts, and how he flows with the Nets in the locker room. Because you're right. Once they step over the line and they do a tip-off, then the guy's a baller, there's no doubt. I mean, he can play, so that's not the issue. It's just the other stuff, and that's the thing. And if you circle back again, and like you just mentioned a moment ago about what happened with the Celtics and him and how he left, which is, it's a storied franchise. I mean, and we talk about the Boston Celtics a lot. And,
oh, my God, yeah.
And it's like, and they have a great, we're both from New York. We're not exactly, big fans of Boston sports individually, but, and usually there's a little bit of a competitiveness between, Boston sports fans and New York sports fans, but they have a very loyal fan base. A big-time, respected, loyal fan base does the Celtics. So the way Kyrie ended that was as a basketball player, as an NBA star, a little bit, kind of like leaves a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth. I mean, and I'm not from Boston. You're not from Boston.
No,
so but you got to wonder how that.
But you have respect for what they've been able to accomplish.
Absolutely.
I mean, I remember the first time I walked into Fenway Park. Right, I saw a game with my dad, my family. We were up there, took a trip up to Boston. I saw Ellis Burks hit a home run. Yeah. to win a game against the Kansas City Royals, right? I remember the first time, you know, I didn't see a game, but we were able to see the old Boston Garden. Just like when I went up to Toronto when I was a young kid and saw the old Maple Leaf Gardens. Yeah. I mean, you just remember those things and you have respect for that area, what they, what
the
those
legacy,
and what those franchises have been able to accomplish and do over the course of time, Taz. And you certainly do. And listen, Kyrie talked all the good talk up there in Boston with the Celtics. Unfortunately, his actions didn't lead the way. And it was more of a distraction than anything else.
And I'm thinking the Nets and the Nets fan base, and I think they're thinking he ends up there, that won't happen. Yeah, because he's from Jersey. I think he's from like West Orange, New Jersey, I believe. He's grew up there. Like you said, he just recently bought a, didn't he buy a big house or a mansion or something up in Jersey, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he bought, yes.
So, and for those that aren't from the Northeast, you know, from Jersey to Brooklyn's not far. I mean, especially northern New Jersey, where we're talking about. So, you know, I don't know. I do think, if you don't get Durant and him, and again, Durant's kind of, it's a tough thing because of the Achilles, and he's not going to be really performing next year. So it's almost like he's almost like a, I don't want to say not involved in the conversation because he is, but Durant's the one's going to be, Kyrie's going to be the one's going to be healthy and playing.
Right.
You just got to wonder, though, if the Nets, the organization, and the fan base, if they're, I don't want to say delusional, but if they're kind of ignoring his history of the type of, you know, guy he's been in the locker room, you know?
Well, I don't know if he, right. I don't think you ignore. I think you look at it like other guys, like other fan bases have, Taz, and you look at it as being a tantalizing talent.
Right. Yeah.
And you're going to say, I'm going to gamble on talent.
Right.
I mean, you know, you've seen that over your years in wrestling,
where
you see, you know, wrestling companies that are going to gamble on talent. I think in the end, just like that, just you look at professional sports, even though you might have concerns about the person, and there's nothing criminal here with Kyrie Irving.
No,
just a matter of what he does to a team and the impact he has on the team. If you don't have a dominant other veteran on that team, and the Nets really don't have that other dominant veteran, right? LeBron James not coming with him. At least year one, Kevin Durant's not going to be on the court with him, right? So that's the reservations you have. When you look at Kyrie Irving, the concerns are always going to be there, but they're going to look at him and say, I mean, he's a dynamic lead guard.
Sure.
That can generate his shot whenever he wants to, that can get to the rim whenever he wants to, so we're going to gamble on that.
And the other, if that does happen, the positive thing for the Nets, he's going to help fill that building in Brooklyn. I mean, he's going to put asses in seats, as we say in the wrestling business.
Oh, no doubt.
He's a star. You know, he is gonna draw people. You know, even if he's not playing good, he's gonna causing drama in the locker room. He's gonna draw. I mean, he Kyrie Irving he's a big star. So he's gonna if they get Durant too. You know, I mean, I'm just telling you, they're gonna have no problem filling that building.
No, no doubt about it.
No doubt.
And that's the worst case scenario for the Knicks.
Right.
If Durant and Kyrie Irving end up in Brooklyn,
the Knicks, it's just like your Knicks should just fold up and do something. I don't know. Go play baseball and help the Mets.
No, they'll still just be telling everyone it's the Mecca. The Mecca. Everything's the Mecca. The
world's
Mecca,
most famous Mecca. Arena.
Right, exactly right.
Let the building play.
Yeah, I wish it could.
Let the building play basketball.
I'd go show up the building, have them tell me stories. Just tell me stories. What happened in this building? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. Which team is the most intriguing one? And Lou Williams lets you know why guys don't necessarily want to go to Toronto. Gives you a little feel in terms of inside the NBA player's mind. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and Moose on this Thursday morning. Welcome aboard, everybody. CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you're on hold, we see you. Hang in there. We're going to do an update quickly, and then we'll get to your NBA calls reacting as free agency gets one day closer, Taz. And let's get it going. 6 o'clock on Sunday night. Popcorn will be out, my favorite libation, and I'll just be watching TV.
What would that be? We're talking about a Heine Light?
You know what?
What are we looking at?
I think I'm going to do a Sam Adams summer.
Wow. Yeah. Look at you. Fancy Dan.
I would have went
Fancy
VA
Dan.
Juice.
I bought it at Costco. which is a great company, by the way.
It is.
I'm there on a weekly basis. Taz make it out to be like I'm heading to some, I'm getting some, you know, IPA rare draft.
You buy the big 18 packer, right? In the box. The 20, yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, those Sam Adams mix. It was like porch something. It was summer something that was like Sam Adams 76 and then regular Sam Adams.
I've had the 76. It's actually.
Is it good?
It's good.
I haven't had the 76. Yeah. Is it good?
Had it, Andrew?
Yeah, I have, and it's Porch Rocker, and that's good as well.
Yeah, Porch Rocker. That's
this guy.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm a big Sam Adams guy.
Are you a big Sam?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Do you drink their winter stuff?
Andrew Bogus just walked in.
The Sam Winter is good. Some of the winter stuff's a little too wintry for me. There's one that has like tastes like a evergreen tree, which is kind of weird. I don't love that.
Oh, wow.
But yeah.
Well, like a minty taste?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like pine needles. It's a strange thing. It's an acquired taste.
I wouldn't want to drink that either.
Talk about ringing endorsements.
Yeah.
Like the cherry wheat.
Cherry wheat's good.
Oh, yeah. Cherry wheat.
Cherry wheat's not bad.
And they put out a pumpkin ale, too, right?
They do.
Yeah.
I can't do the pumpkin.
I don't like the pumpkin.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I'm not into that.
Like 76 is good, like I said.
My brother-in-law.
I like pumpkin pie.
Yeah, my brother-in-law. We usually head over to his place like around Halloween because they have like a neighborhood where it's easy to trick or treat with the young kids.
Yeah.
And he's like pounding the pumpkin ale.
Oh, that's while the kids are around. That's good. Hey, it's the afternoon. It's Halloween. No, let's get bombed on pumpkin ale. It's
usually what I did last year.
It's usually
we were pulling a little cart full of drinks.
It's not 2 in the afternoon. He's like, hey, you want a shorty and a beer?
Trick or treat.
Right, trick or treat.
Kids are like, is this Reese's peanut butter cup okay? Don't worry about it.
Just eat it.
Right. Maybe the can opener.
Who wants a shot of Jack Honey?
Got a family
I'm ordering
got going on there.
Pizza. I'm getting the meat lovers.
Who's trying to feel palm? What do you want?
Exactly. I go chicken parm all
the
time.
Oh, my God. The kids are dressed up in Halloween stuff. No, the Sam Adams is good stuff.
Yeah, Adams is good. You know, and in summertime, you got to go with a nice light beer. You can't go with the heavy.
I agree. No, I agree with you.
You can't, you know, you can't there in 90-degree heat drinking a Guinness.
Yeah, quick story. I did that on a weekend. I had a little bit of an issue. I'm sitting out in the yard. I'm smoking a big cigar, heavy, you know, strong, full cigar, full body.
Need two hands.
Yeah. No, it doesn't mean, not the size. It's a full body. It's a potent smoke.
I got moose.
Stop. I just spit out all my
coffee. I know. It's a wise ass. It's just being a wise ass for some reason. But anyway.
For some reason.
And I'm drinking a Modelo, but I'm drinking the dark one. Did you ever have that?
Yeah.
No, I haven't had the dark. I've had the light.
Well, the dark is, it's heavy. I mean, it's really, really, really good. But I don't suggest it with a full, big-bodied cigar while the sun is pounding on your head, reflecting off of your pool when you have no hat on.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, I mean, like 20 minutes in, I'm like, whoa, I was getting a little tipsy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, that's a heavy beer.
I mean, really?
I'm going to try that. The Modelo dark beer.
It's good.
Okay.
It's good. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a little heavier. You know, it's good for the fall. I mean, like you just said, in the summer, you don't want to do nothing heavy.
Well, yeah, I made the mistake a couple summers ago. We went out to Long Island, out to Montauk, and I brought like this German beer that I got at like one of those like beer places that sell
beverage centers.
Right, beverage centers, right? And so I was drinking it on the beach. I'm like, God, it's so heavy. I had to go to the grocery store and get some light beers because I couldn't drink. It's like 93 degrees.
Yeah. It's hot.
I'm drinking this heavy German beer. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, this is better when I'm in air conditioning, watching a baseball game, than sitting out on the beach.
Mommy, why is Daddy floating in the ocean so long?
I know.
I don't know. He'll be all
right. Right, Jackson's like, help me build a sandcastle. I'm like, not right now. I'm trying to work my way through this beer.
You could need a loaf of bread to absorb it.
Exactly.
Like, give me something to get me back to normal.
Unbelievable.
All right. We'll get to your calls here momentarily. Bogus, what's going on, bro? All right, take it away.
Come on. Let's go. Here we go.
Thanks, Weird Al. Here's your report, sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. It remains to be seen if Jimmy Butler and or the Sixers would do a sign and trade with the Rockets, but the Rockets are doing their due diligence. Houston reportedly wants to trade one of Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, and P.J. Tucker to get a first-round pick, which they would package with the remaining two, maybe include a third team for more assets, and then make their pitch to Philly. The Sixers, meanwhile, said to be confident that Butler and Tobias Harris will sign back up. Kevin Durant has formally declined his $31.5 million option for next season with the Warriors, while Marc Gasol smartly exercises his $25.6 mil option with the Raptors. It's a battle of first place teams. The Braves now lead the Cubs at Wrigley 2-1.
2-0 pitch. Driven deep to right center field. That ball crushed by Markakis. That ball is gone into the basket. It's a three-run home run for Nick Markakis.
For a 5-0 lead in the third, Atlanta 1-5-3. Jim Powell on Braves Radio. Fourth and final game of the series is today. The Phillies rallied past the Mets 5-4-10. Jay Bruce, the game-ending RBI double. The Nationals held off the Marlins 7-5. The A's a 2-0 win in St. Louis, and the Brewers lost at home to the Mariners 4-2. The Twins topped the Rays 6-4. The Pirates routed the Astros 14-2. Josh Bell crushed homer number 21. The one thing the Yankees aren't good at right now is keeping Giancarlo Stanton healthy. The slugger back on the IL with a sprained right PCL. That's in his knee. He'll be reevaluated in 10 days. Stanton is missing this weekend's games with the Red Sox in London. Last night in Omaha.
Two balls, two strikes. Thomas lines it to center field. Backing up is DeMarco. He'll make the catch, and the Doors have done it. Vanderbilt, baseball national champions for the second time in school history.
The previous one was 2014. That was Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. Vandy beat Michigan last night 8-2, recovering from dropping game one of this best-of-three finale. UConn is officially headed back to the Big East, except in football, of course. They'll discuss it all at the Garden at noon Eastern today. And U.S. men's soccer beat Panama 1-0 in KC to win their group at the Gold Cup. That goal from Josie Altidore. The Americans take on Curacao in the quarters in Philly on Sunday night. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
I've been talking a lot about the NBA, you know, the free agency and stuff. Who's going to go where? What's going to happen? We talked a lot about Kyrie. Is he end up? Will he end up, I should say, with the Brooklyn Nets? Let's go down to Alabama. Daniel is listening on 105.5 FM. Daniel, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller. How you doing?
All right, what's going on?
What's going on, Daniel?
I'm probably comparing apples to oranges here with the NFL and the NBA.
Yeah.
But is Kyrie, with the way his attitude is working, isn't he kind of like the T.O. of the NBA? He kind of goes into the locker room. You know, he does good for a bit, then his attitude sours up, and, you know, he ends up blowing up the locker room.
I kind of like that that analogy,
yeah,
Daniel.
Not a bad
I think he might be onto something, Daniel. I kind of agree with you.
You know what, Daniel? It's not a bad one. Not a bad one if you're going to draw it and compare him to another player in another school.
Yeah, T.O. And T.O. has, you know, in his prime, you know, while he was playing, did show a lot of signs of greatness, just like Kyrie has, but yet there's always some kind of drama, but yet it's never nothing horrible, like criminal, like Moose said earlier. You know what I mean, Daniel? But, yeah, I think it's a pretty good analogy by you.
All right, and as far as Kevin Durant goes, you know, with his history of injury, you know, is he more or less an afterthought of this whole process with the trades or a free agency, or what is your take on that?
He asks if KD's an afterthought once they.
If you're saying if Kevin Durant's an afterthought, I don't think Kevin Durant's an afterthought. No,
I don't either. I don't, especially even though he's going to be. I understand your point, Daniel, but I think like he's a star. You know, he's a big star. He's going to, you know, even if he's out injured, which he's going to be, no matter where he ends up playing, he's going to draw people just for his name. Even if he's not playing, it sounds weird. Daniel, we appreciate the call, but he's still a draw. He's still a star, you know?
Oh, he still is, you know, but you're going to go on the idea of if you're, say, the Knicks or the Nets, you know, you'll take the year, let him rehab, and then when Kevin Durant returns at the age of 32, Taz, you hope that he's still the same slick shooting star that he's been his entire career. That's what you're hoping for. You're hoping that, you know, he's not a heavy guy. Yes,
no.
He's a long limb guy, but he's not a heavy guy. So he is an athletic freak. You think that, you know, he's going to be he'd be able to recover a lot better than, say, a DeMarcus Cousins, who's a big body,
sure,
big man.
Bigger, thicker, right. Heavier guy.
Right, yeah. Correct. Yeah. Which it's a little bit more difficult because you're a lot harder on your joints and limbs.
Of course.
With the amount of weight that he carries.
No doubt. Let's go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Talk to Richard, listening on 100.3 FM. Richard, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. A couple things real quick. Just to let you know, you got a good following down here in Myrtle Beach. A lot of my friends listen to you every morning. So.
Oh, wow. We appreciate that.
That's really nice.
We love it. Thank
yes,
you so
Richard.
Much.
That's awesome. Good. Tell them thanks.
Good. Two things, and then I'll hang up and I'll listen to your response. I think if Kawhi Leonard stays with the Raptors and he's a class act, I think he's the type of player that some other players that are good would want to go play with the Raptors to be with Leonard. My second thing is this. If I were KD, I would opt out, go ahead and listen to the offers, and then go ahead and sign the 5-year, $20 million with the Golden State Warriors because I think he's a good fit with that team, and they appreciate him because he'll be 31 when he comes back. So if he's got 5 years, he'll be 36 when he, you know, that contract finishes, right. And he's making $220 million. So that's where I would go. But love your show, guys. Listen for your thoughts. Thank you.
We appreciate it, Richard.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much. Well, you're right. He does fit out in Golden State. The question, and I think the Warriors there have been reports out of Golden State that they'd be willing to give him that 5-year deal and have him, you know, miss the entirety of next season, have him rehab, but then have him for 4 healthy years starting at the age of 32, not 31. Taz, the question for him is, does he want a new challenge?
Right.
I mean, is the grass greener? Does he want another challenge? Does he want to, you know, take his talents to another city and then see if he can shut up all the naysayers for the rest of his career? That's the thing, right. You have. That's the question ultimately that needs to be answered when it comes to Kevin Durant.
Well, I agree. You're going into a whole different coat of paint. Now, what I'm about to say, I might be looking a little too deep into it, and I alluded to this a couple weeks ago once KD got injured. You know, man, listen, he knows that training staff very well there, and they know his body very well. And unfortunately for him, he's been dealing with them a lot. And he's going to deal with a tough rehab that any NBA team, any of their medical staff and training staff, they're obviously well-equipped to deal with it. I get that. I know that. But there's a great chance that the trainers and doctors and medical team of, let's say, hypothetically, the Brooklyn Nets, they don't personally know, you know, Kevin Durant.
No.
You know, You don't hear about that, but athletes spend a lot of time with the trainers because, especially when they're banged up or they're coming back or they're trying to maintain something to stay healthy, you really build, I don't want to say a bond, but you get to know the male or female trainer or doctors and whatnot. I do think that goes a long way. I do. And I for Kevin Durant, to Rich's point, who just called us from South Carolina, if Durant were to stay there in Golden State, you know his teammates love him. When he got injured,
And ultimately, Tess, I think that would be the easy choice for him.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah,
I think for Kevin Durant, it would be the easy way. And I'm not saying that would be the bad way. I mean, who knows? I mean, and his injury might have changed his complete outlook and the way that he looks at free agency too. I mean, you know, because now he looks at it and says, it just went away. I'm now going to miss an entire year. It's the sport I love. I'm coming back at 30. I want more financial security. I want more money. I'm deserving of the biggest contract. And the team that could offer him the most money is Golden State.
So Mike was just saying something. You might notice, Moose. I didn't know this. Mike was just saying something interesting to me.
That did KD's surgery is part of the Nets medical staff.
So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting right
there.
Well,
right. Yeah. I mean, but to the point that Taz was making is in case of you look at knowing the athlete, working with the athlete on a day in, day out basis.
Correct.
Performing a surgery that he went and, got the best surgeon he possibly could.
You're under anesthesia, you have the surgery, then you deal with the trainer.
Right, to do the surgery, right. Right. I mean, that's fine. And usually those top doctors have affiliations with teams in those markets.
Sure, absolutely.
Because they want the best working on their athletes.
Right, and you're covering sports a lot longer than me. And, athletes, you don't hear about the trainers at universities or on pro teams ever. I gotta be honest with you, the only time you hear about trainers, and you'll respect this, is really learn about the trainers, it's horse racing.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes, no, that's true.
I know we're not dealing with a human, but yeah, I know it sounds a little crazy, but
yeah, correct.
It's true.
Right, and yeah, they have a greater impact on what the horse does on the racetrack they're running. Right, you don't really hear about what guys are doing unless they're terrible, unless guys are going down. All of a sudden, there's a rash of hamstring injuries.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever it might be.
Whatever it is. No, I got you. I agree.
Right. I mean, a couple years ago, the Mets cleaned out their entire training staff.
And it was a good move to do that.
Right.
Look how good they're doing now.
And they brought in new guys.
At least to help. Well,
but they're relatively
young.
Yes. We'll come back. We'll get to your calls, and we'll continue to talk a little NBA free agency. We'll get into the Red Sox and Yankees playing over in England. We'll touch upon, certainly, the impact of collegiate athletics in California. We'll explain as we roll right along. It's Taz and Moose on a busy Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh. Yes, on this Thursday morning, 855-212-4227. Let's head out to Orange, New Jersey, shall we?
Oh, Orange. Interesting. Let's talk to our friend John, listening on radio.com.
He is John. He is John. He is John from Jersey.
Big John.
Good morning, John.
What's up, Hoss?
Hey, guys. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Listen, I'm going to give you some advice, John. Okay.
Yes.
Free advice from me. You're going nuts on the Twitter. You are a guy who really hardly tweeted, and now you are a hot take machine on Twitter. You're nonstop. Once I saw that you were tweeting about pro wrestling, I'm like, John's getting too far. Moose, he's out of control, this guy, on Twitter.
He's a huge wrestling fan.
He's very active on Twitter.
I know, which is great.
And the Mets are getting on them. And I mean,
supportive of us.
Is there a day that epitomizes how bad the Mets are than yesterday?
No.
Yankees losing 5-0. You know they're going to come back and win, and they do.
Right.
The Mets are up 4-0, and you bet your life they're going to lose,
right.
And they do.
They do, of course. I know.
John would be great in digital. No.
Oh God, he'd be great working here for the company
in
the digital department. John, really? I mean, even if you don't have a history, I think you could do it.
He'd be a mover and a shaker. He
really would.
Go.
I think he'd make things happen. Oh, he would.
Amen. I've told the Moose for years, if the Moose jumped on Fat Man Inc., I'd have the Moose on the Tonight Show in a month.
There you go.
In a month.
No, John, I think Moose is on to something. We're going to try and see if we could just get you involved.
I mean, he's active on social media.
He really
gets
is.
Gets it, right?
Honest guy. Passionate guy.
Gets things done.
Right. Gets things done. That's the key. Yes.
John would be great.
Yes. You got to be honest with the talent. You got to be honest with the talent, though.
There you go.
Well, speaking of that,
I can honestly tell you, as a Knicks fan, I want nothing to do with Kevin Durant. Nothing.
Yeah.
And
I feel like you're calling WFAN right now. This feels like a WFAN call.
Mets,
the Knicks.
Because of what reason, John? Because you just don't feel like he'll be able to recover from the Achilles?
He's going to be 32 years old when he comes back from that injury. And I just think for the Knicks, this... And look, and maybe I'm being a pessimistic Knicks fan. This has train wreck written all over it. You're going to pay this guy a max deal for 4 years. And look, he could come back and be a superstar. I don't know that. But what I do know is that the risk, I think, is unwarranted. And if I'm the Knicks, if I can't get Leonard and I can't get the pre-injury Durant, I'm not spending my money. I'm going to go into the season with the cap space, and I'm going to aggressively use the cap space to buy up other teams' expiring contracts and get number one picks back for it and build through the draft. That's what I would do.
Right, but if I just sign Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving goes someplace else and I don't add anybody else, I could do all that one and the same. The Knicks have got $70 million of cap space. You know, so if I sign Durant, I'm still going to be bad. I'm still going to have a high pick next June in the NBA draft, and I'm still going to have salary cap space, too, as you mentioned, John, eat up bad expiring contracts from other teams, and in doing so, doing another team a favor, I get first-round draft choices. All of that I can still do, and still bring in Kevin Durant.
And I think you're also going to keep the Knicks fan chill while you're waiting on Durant.
Right.
I do. I think, and John, we appreciate you calling, dude. But yeah, I really do.
But I get it. But there
I see what he's saying, though. Yeah.
I mean, I think anyone outside of Golden State's nervous about bringing Durant in.
All right.
Taz Boone, CBS Sports Radio.